Number 6.
Welcome to Atlantis Way, under, down, under. The sky's always yellow in rain or shine.
Come to Tasmania, come to Tasmania.
Mom's alive, why are dads no bumping along? Molly's all fired up, or Jake plays with the dog.
Come to Tasmania, come to Tasmania.
Didgeridingo and Wendell T. Wolf. Francis X. Bush, lad is never uncouth. Bushwhacker Bob and his mother, Gold Mum. Cousins to Dickley just want to have fun. For Gator and Axel are always left sore. If you have a deal, just call Buddy Paul. The Platypus Brothers are out back and about. The Kiwi, the Bush Rats, have we left anyone out? Oh yeah, don't forget Taz.
He put the Taz in Tasmania, down in Tasmania, come to Tasmania. We need you!
Hey, what's going on? This podcast was recorded with the fellas Friday, late Friday night. The Packers game is about to start. It's Sunday night. And so let's edit this. We'll edit this together and we'll interject if anything interesting happens in the Packers game or if anything particularly crazy is said in this episode that I feel like I need to clean up. Zencaster started charging, so we did this one on Zoom, and then we had to stop it because my Zoom ran out, and then we switched to another Zoom. I remember it being fun, but we'll find out together. Let's check it out.
What was the
I haven't seen that in so long.
He said 50. Let's get on to it.
Let's get it.
What do you guys want to talk about? Ben's gone.
Go ahead.
Ben had turned his video off.
Maybe that helped a little bit. Go ahead. We haven't talked in a minute, and I'm just gonna Cribs gotta go in a minute, so we'll let you talk about absolutely anything you want to talk. The racial discourse regarding Griffin, the Chris Middleton point guard show, the terribleness of Barbie, the Flavor Flav singing the national anthem, literally like the masculinity of Beasley's dance, like anything you want to, but just whatever you guys want to talk about. It's been literally the whole year.
That Southern dial-up is like ran by raccoons and snakes. Every time he tries to stream something.
I think it's individual streams, though, either way, so just...
This podcast didn't get killed. It didn't get killed by the content. It got killed by the broadband in South Carolina.
Right. Go ahead. Someone talk whatever you want. Go for it.
Hey, Jackson Jr. I'm a huge fan of Jackson Jr. being a rook. Like, if you're going to let me talk about something, I was happy with his defense before he was making shots. And now he shoots at such a good clip. I can't believe he's only getting this few minutes. Like, the fact that you would put a rookie in the game and put him on another team's superstar and him hold his own this early bodes well for the playoffs, right? That's at least, even in your worst case scenario, 6 fouls you could throw out there that you don't feel like someone's going to get ran by, that you're going to put the pressure on. I always forget the guy's name. What's the name of the guard from the Pelicans? About 2 or 3 seasons ago, Hispanic of some type. Shoot, wish my son was here. Basically Hayes? Just got in there. What is it?
Is it Hayes? Are you talking about Hayes?
No, it's not Hayes. Let me look. I'll look it up. But basically, he got his chance a couple playoffs ago and end up basically winning them some games with some energy because he just pressed and no one was
used to the press. He's got the cornrows?
Yeah, I think so. He won like some rookie something the second
year. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't remember Alvarado. His name.
It's Alvarado.
Yeah, he played good minutes in that Memphis game this week.
I was about to say Cole Anthony because to me that fit into that kind of unattractive cornrow, light-skinned, small point guard. But yeah.
But if we can just give him some shine. They're still giving Beauchamp a lot of minutes, and I actually think Beauchamp is exceeded my expectations for him this year because I didn't think he was going to be able to really add anything. But he's gotten less rookie-ish in his decision-making. It's not I'm going to shoot or I'm going to pass. It is what is the situation, and I kind of flow with the game. he's still making some mistakes, but like he's new in the league. At least if he's showing improvement, it still gives us hope that we can throw in some of these long bodies with young energy. Cause as it stands right now, our defense is Lopez at the rim and non-existent. If you want a mid-range shot or a three, you're going to get the one you want. Let's go ahead and talk about defense. If you're going to let me run the show.
Run the show.
Let's just talk about defense in the NBA.
Let's talk about defense.
This is the discourse. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play the role of Zemania.
And let's talk about it in this game this evening.
So I fell asleep during the second quarter.
Which game are we talking about?
Let's talk about this evening, right? Because the conversation that we have had recently has been defensive teams win chips.
I think we kind of came to an agreement, but I think you guys were just still harping on your point. I think we all came to an agreement that, yeah, pretty much offense has been king in the NBA for what? The 2010s on? I mean, we haven't seen real defense in a long time in the NBA. But what I kept harping on and what you're going to play Zemania role was that, and I agree with Zemania to a point, that Boston, I think, has more firepower than our defense is good enough to keep up with. I think our offense is good, but I don't think that our offense, it sometimes it doesn't click, especially against a very good defensive team.
Where? This is my normal look. Like, I can't change it.
I just think that it doesn't. It bogs down at times.
So you kind of look like Tony Soprano now, man. Like, I'm getting a new respect for Crib. Like, Crib is like, if you start wearing some open collar,
little
shirt,
Gandolfini look. Yeah,
Venus. Gandolfini is on the way.
Cream suits.
Right. Yeah. Little fur coming up over the shirt.
Exactly.
I just think that sometimes our offense bogs down. It doesn't give me confidence every game. And I think our defense is super leaky, man. I mean,
how'd you feel about the first quarter tonight?
I didn't see it. I didn't tune in until when I tuned in, it was 57. I mean, the Bucks were down by like 2 or 3 points. And then when I started texting you guys, teasing you guys, they had taken the lead. So I came in right at halftime, I should say.
So they were down by what, 15 in the first half, something like that?
Yeah, they said that was the max they were down by.
And what was the final score?
Thanks to Middleton, they won.
they won thanks to...
Okay, I'm going to make my point.
They won thanks to Brent Forbes.
Final score was 118.
I'm going to make my final point right score. Here. Listen, I'm going to make my point right here, Ken. I'm going to make my point right here. They won thanks to Middleton, right? I bet you ain't saying they won because of Middleton's defense.
I will say this.
Because he don't play no defense. He don't play no defense.
Middleton had three steals. He does make an attempt to stay in front of his guy. Watch Damian Lillard. I'm telling you, he gives me
I agree.
That's all you gotta do.
He's not as bad as Harden, but look at that dude. He has zero interest in playing defense.
He's never had to play defense before.
He can't believe that he's
watching
the Chris Middleton show. Like, these guys are NBA guys, they're selfish. Like, so like the time to eat is against the Nets with a bunch of G Leaguers and what's his name starting the game so he can keep his streak going and get away. Like, when we play these trash teams, that's time for like him to get 47 points, and it's selfish. But when your Hall of Famer is like doing salsa dances, like regardless of it, like I'm both getting down on Giannis' leadership and also really encouraged that he's got so much left physically in the tank, because I've been saying that was going away. My internet connection is unstable again. But like Chris played really well. Like, for people who fell asleep in the second quarter, he played really well in stretches. And it was like, but we're down 15-6. It's like, oh, Chris, two-pointer. A pass for another two-pointer. And now pass to Brooke for another two-pointer. We're down 15-6. Nobody
turnover.
Three-pointers. Oh. Right, and the turnovers came later.
Chris Bash is the wrong guy.
Chris Middleton manufactures two-point buckets at his best. And at his worst, like, you know what it is. But he's moving pretty good.
He doesn't manufacture stops. Like, that's the thing. He's 6'7", 6'8". He's so his length by himself makes him difficult to get past. Like when you're 6'8", no matter who, unless you're on a guy who's a 7-footer, like you're going to be able to play halfway decent defense. And Chris's defense is terrible at 6'8". Like, let's
move on. All right. All but right, like, Chris, what are you doing like tonight? You're gonna make me cape up for Middleton. This is as good as Middleton has looked in the last probably
because he's been playing 20 minutes a game. 7 years.
He's slower.
And I'd almost say the same for LeBron because LeBron is not doing all the.
I never put Middleton in LeBron's.
Just taking what's there.
They started playing him too much, and all of a sudden we started losing. They upped his minutes, and all of a sudden,
100%.
All of a sudden, we started splitting with the Knicks, and we started splitting with the Pacers. As soon as they started treating him like a borderline all-star, as opposed to a guy who's still worse than Brook Lopez, this happened. And it's killing me that we're starting games, and he's bringing the ball up, because that just doesn't play in the playoffs. It doesn't play in a regular season. I've watched him my whole life. Like I've watched.
How many minutes did Del Curry play back in the day when he was with the Bucks? You guys remember Del Curry?
Yeah.
He came in. He shot threes. That's Chris Middleton today.
4 minutes. Four minutes.
I'll shut up.
Here's what's up. 13 Middleton points actually was encouraging tonight.
Let Jay talk.
He played great. So let me just give him his flowers. He played. Excellent. He played like a point guard. He created space on the floor. He actually had active hands on defense. So I am not going to belittle what he did tonight because this is what I'd love to see.
High five.
I'm only going to say this one thing about it, though. Down the stretch, he was the reason they tightened it up because he's the antithesis of Dame time.
Please watch it again.
He plays better.
Please watch the game again.
Quarters,
it was a Giannis turnover. Was a Dame turnover. Not able to catch a ball. We've seen tons of big men come through Milwaukee that cannot catch a pass. It was a couple turnovers. It was really what was the Porter guy coming in? Roasting Dame and Beasley. They could not do anything on him. That guy came in and he fired off.
Whose defense is better, Beasley's or Middleton's? You're a defense guy. Whose defense is better?
I hate to say this.
Middleton or
Beasley?
This
season it's been Middleton. Middleton's defense been better than Beasley's.
Who did Beasley start guarding this evening? Who did he start
on? Mitchell.
Thank you.
Right.
You guys talk about defense. You talk about defense, and the coach said. So
you really want Middleton to guard Mitchell?
But then this like the Drew thing. It's Drew guarding
that
Jimmy
dude,
Butler
as quick as
instead
I don't
of Chris.
Know what,
it's the same thing
shorter,
again.
He would burn Beasley, the mess out of Middleton. He would burn the mess out of any one of our forwards.
If you talk
he's
about
a quick point guard, 6'4", 6'6". Why would you put a 6'8", 30-something-year-old
player?
He's not guarding anybody.
He was guarding Strauss.
He was guarding the ball. He got those steals because he was guarding Aaron.
Who is that?
Nobody.
He ain't guarding
nobody. And that's who they put Dame on, too.
He ain't guarding nobody.
Okay.
Number 5.
How many steals did Beasley get?
Beasley.
Mitchell,
we should be able to agree. We should be able to agree. Like, but okay. You saw that set. Jay was asleep. there was a stat, and again, it's not, I rail against these kind of stats because it's just a grouping. And it was how many times you've hit 5 3-pointers as a Buck. And it was like Ray Allen was at the top of the list, and like Javon was on there, and doggone, and Beasley was there. Beasley was like fifth on the all-time Bucks list in like 30 games, like, which is what we always wanted Middleton to do this whole time, is just get up a bunch of threes. So Beasley's more valuable, but we're going to pretend like this stretch means something. And then when he sucks against good teams in the regular season and the playoffs, people will be like, yeah, but remember that stretch? That stretch keeps him. He'll still be shooting 48% from the field based on the stretch of like running it up against bad teams, getting 3-pointers off when games we were losing by 6, and like the whole thing. Like, it doesn't like stats don't matter, but like the thing is, like, so go ahead.
Yeah, you're cutting off a bit, so I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you, but like,
go ahead. Here's
the thing with a good coach, and I'm really hoping our coach, when it comes to the playoffs, and we won't know till then, understands what's really happening. You got to try out a lot of stuff, you got to put a lot of stuff out there and see what works. And get people used to maybe a new kind of system that they haven't played with, where different things are required. Middleton getting 11 assists is promising. Obviously, if we get pressed by Miami in the playoffs, that does add some concerns to whether they could just easily stop that by doubling him. I completely get that. But when you practice this stuff during the regular season, it's to know whether it works or doesn't work in at least this select scenario. At least Middleton is creating space on the floor for everyone else. I wish Dame would do similar, because Middleton has a, I got by you, but now I'm jutting out to the right to create space for the center, which Dame is beelining to the hoop. And that's why him and Giannis are collapsing in on each other, because they're only giving themselves 2 feet apart after the pick and roll. That's the real issue with the pick and roll. That being said, if Middleton could just make open threes, and the coach can put him in situations where he can actually be successful. I'm not mad at Middleton. The coach should know what I know, which is when he's good and when he's not. And that's with every player on the team.
But that comes right back.
I will ask you guys this.
It comes back to Giannis, though. I will ask you all guys this.
I will concede that Middleton is slow, should probably just shoot a little bit more. But who has been the better creator when he's on a court? Take all of his turnovers you want. Who has been a better of getting this offense moving and grooving than Middleton? Dame, when he's in there, when Dame is in there, it's, should I get the ball to Giannis or should I just take over and do my thing? If he's doing his thing, he's just weaving and trying to get to the basket to get a foul, or he's going to shoot a three off of a screen immediately. He does try to throw a lob to Brooke, but he can't catch him. And Bobby can't catch a lob either. So they do so much. It's almost criminal how few pick and rolls Giannis.
Lay off my body.
I love Bobby, but I'm just saying that Dame is not a cohesive unit. He isn't working well with these teams. He's doing his own thing, or
he's dishing
the ball off. He's not doing anything to – he doesn't do the equivalent of – what you guys say Middleton does and he shouldn't be doing. Okay. No one else on the team is doing that.
Okay. I agree. I agree. I'm not going to. Yes, I completely agree for right now. That is definitely a true statement.
For 2 games.
No.
He's been doing it better than everyone.
No. It's been 13 good games that he has got in a game. Even when he was playing those fewer minutes, he would get into the game. When he was on a super low minute restriction, he was rushing and trying to do too much. When he got his minutes, to 25, he was the best offensive creator for the rest of the guys on the court. Nobody throws lobs to Brooke or Giannis better than him. Nobody.
Here's what I'm saying, Kendrick. And I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, in the playoffs and the regular season, we don't need what he provides, really. We'd be better served with the best version of Marcus Smart or the super version of Draymond. We'd be better served with a Kyle Lowry kind of guy who was so clever and always doing something smart and hitting big shots and driving the other kids
I would concede that it would be better if they could find somebody that could do that.
So it's no longer a fit because he's so stupid and Giannis is so stupid. And again, we could talk for an hour about what Dame is on. Like I'm sort of with you on that, but ultimately, like Dame is coming over to us. He's Anakin Skywalker coming over to the Jedi Council. Like he doesn't know what's going on. Like it's a lot that he's so cold still. It's a lot.
Who's a smarter player, Middleton or Giannis? I'm talking about basketball wise. Who is making better decisions?
The silence means it all, though, because
means you're both thinking about it. Who is the better? If you had to pick, who is a better NBA IQ?
Middleton looks like he's NBA a good IQ. Passer because he throws every pass, just like Drew in the Valley Oop. He has 6 foot shots and forces alley oops. Not well thrown all the time. I'm just saying, like, he's not smart either. He decides to pass on the pick and roll before he.
You're not answering the question.
I don't know. Let them answer. I don't know.
Dude.
You think okay. he's smart? He's not a smart player, though. So you can say Giannis is dumber. God.
I didn't.
Okay. Here's the issue with answering that blatantly. The fact that you blank me on something I have an opinion on, I have an opinion on everything. The problem is, depending on the scenario, in the night, they're both just stupid. They make dumb turnovers, unforce them. They don't know what to do in the last 4 minutes. They get away from what was working all the time. I can't say either one is intelligent. So would I trust either is actually the question. It is neither. I trust neither. Giannis will put his head down and get a charge. Middleton will not see the double coming and turn it over down the stretch in games that matter. So I don't trust either one of those. I don't think Dame will make those mistakes the same in big minutes. That's why he's Dame time in the last 6 minutes. And Drew was very similar. Drew would have terrible games in the last 6 minutes. All of a sudden, he'd turn it on. Step back. And hopefully it made up for all the mistakes he made earlier, right? So are any of them intelligent basketball IQ? I'd say no, because anyone who plays basketball knows don't ever force a pass if it could be a turnover, because it's better for you to have a chance of winning every time you get a shot up rather than risking a pass that probably won't get through. And they consistently make that mistake. Back to your point, B. Yeah, we need a Draymond. If Giannis could set screens where he just knows he's going to sprint and run to the hoop, this would change our offense. We're having a hard time getting Dame the ball up top.
Yeah.
That's easily coached out. If you just have people slash at the hoop and the person setting the screen has the ball is looking for slashers, because then we're getting layups. That's all the Warriors do. But we haven't seen anyone do that. You see how hard Dame has to work to get the ball on offense? He's getting at the logo. Mm-hmm.
So here's the problem.
Go ahead.
With Ken's argument. Who between Dame and Middleton is doing the same thing they've been doing for the last 10 years? Who's adjusting more?
That's a whole nother question.
Well, it's related to, though, the reason that Thanasis is on the team, the reason that Connaughton is on the team, the reason that Budenholzer ultimately got fired by him. But like that, this is Giannis's state. And so that's why Chris is on the team. Right.
It's not so much I'm saying
he's dumb. I'm just saying he very rarely matters.
Right.
Even today, we came back from 15 down. It wasn't the Chris show. You've never in your life seen a game where it was like, dag, dude, we were down 11. And all of a sudden Chris like went nuclear and we were up 12. Like it does. Like he fits in and he's a nice player and he's on a really nice stretch against bum squads.
Dame dropped 40 last week and nobody batted an eye. If Middleton dropped 40, everybody would be like, oh, my goodness.
Brooke Lopez had 39 or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying like this is an 82 game season. And I think Kendrick, you're making the right point, and I think you're right. I'm just saying this thing has to fit, and that goes back to like the Griffin conversation. But it's Giannis. Giannis is unserious, man.
I don't think he's unserious. I think you're getting his max. I don't want to sound like I'm dogging my boy because I love him, but. He's maxed out on his intelligence, his beat basketball IQ.
Can't have everything.
He's trying his best right now to be a compliment to Dame.
Right, but look when he screens for Dame. Look when the game is really getting pressurized. He jumps to the top of the key when Dame's got the ball. He's got his hands out. And then,
it's going
to
stop.
He doesn't allow Dame to set up or do.
Number four. Is Kendrick back?
What's the Sopranos song at the beginning? What's the introduction?
I'm surprised nobody made a Bucks version of that. That'd be the easiest thing in the world to just drive through the streets and do a
true story.
Got yourself a gun.
What happened to Ken? Why is he muted and no video?
Maybe went to go get a drink or something. I don't know.
All right, I'm getting a drink.
Yours kind of goes a little high. You're going to be shaving around your eyes pretty soon.
I just got a trim yesterday, too. No, what's today? Today's Friday. Today's Saturday? Friday. What's today?
Friday.
I'm lost.
The gray's inside your nose. So I started waxing my... You ever wax your nose?
No.
All right. Hard reset, then.
Here's the thing. Let me just say this. When Middleton's on the floor and he's cooking, he gives you a solid 5 minutes, six minutes.
It's great.
And it's impressive. He's a professional basketball player, and he does great in 6 minutes. But he's got to cook in those 6 minutes for it to matter.
Yes.
Lillard, Dame, when he's on the floor, his minutes always matter. Because he can turn it on at any moment. He can change the game at any moment. And I just don't think you get that from Middleton.
All right. Controversial topic based on what he just said.
I agree with you on the fact that Middleton has played better in his limited time. And I also agree with you that Dame's defense is not at the same level. But he's an undersized player. And he's never had to play defense. Dude, he's barely 6 foot.
What does that have to do with staying in front of your guy?
Middleton can stay in front of his guy.
Don't make any excuses for him being bad on defense. Saying that he's never had to play it, that's just saying that he's terrible at defense, and he's always been terrible.
Do you believe there's a two-way player? You believe there's such a thing as a two-way player?
All I'm saying is give me better energy and effort like Beasley. That's all I'm asking for. No, he's
he
not.
He is.
Beasley stays in front of his guys. Beasley gets picked off of his guy every time. And he tries harder. Watch the game, dude. Watch him.
How tall is Beasley?
They're about the same height.
No,
aren't they?
Bro, come on now.
Pause. I think this is leading exactly where I was going. You're a person who is aware of basketball, but you've only watched the NCAA game your whole life. You just pick up and you start watching basketball, the NBA's the pros this year. You've heard a lot about the trade. You watched the first 20 Bucks games and you heard about this great player we trade for. Do you think what's the percentage chance that you might think the person that we traded for was Beasley that everyone was talking about and not Dame?
Dame is, I mean, Dame has been very good.
I've actually thought about that. Yeah.
He's been very good. I'm not saying that he's been terrible. I'm saying that Dame has been good individually. Dame has is going to take more time because Dame has not meshed well with the team. He's had a few highlight games
he's
where
never played he with was a doing guy like Middleton or
you're not proving my point wrong. All you're saying is you need more time.
So my point, was that
it's 20. Okay. Yeah. So you asked about the measurements, so the measurables, 6'2", 195 for Damian Lillard, 6'2", 195. Beasley, 6'4", 187. So giving up 8 pounds and 2 inches higher, Beasley.
That's a big difference. 6'4" is a big difference in the NBA.
I did think about what Jay said. I thought about that actually tonight. That he does lighter, like it. That just like if we saw Dame always hitting 5 threes like that in a stretch, we'd be like,
right?
Yeah, I thought about that tonight.
That's all. Lillard.
Dude, you guys are celebrating 5 threes by Beasley. What he scored tonight? What's he averaging? 15? 16?
What's his average this season?
Yeah, what's his points per game?
I don't have that one right off the fan. He scored 15 tonight. 15, 5 rebounds.
What's his average?
I think you're misconstruing what I'm saying. No one is saying he's a worse player than Beasley. What I'm saying is Beasley is playing out of his mind and making these open threes like we haven't had. So, like,
of course he's making open threes, bro.
Dude, he doesn't.
No one on our team makes open threes.
He doesn't need rhythm at all. The pass would be at his hip. He sidesteps it. His arc is so pure. He gets rhythm. He's like
better or fourth best dude on the court.
He's had multiple shots where he's like looked at the hoop and then nobody came to him and he had 3 seconds to look at a three. And I'm like, well, now he's out of rhythm. He's going to trick it. And he just makes it. He makes those like 75% of the time. Like he didn't do any of this with the Lakers. It almost feels like that George Hill shoots 48% for three for 4 months or whatever it was. But yeah, he's been incredible.
Yeah, and
Beasley's averaging
because he's not being guarded by nobody.
So
Beasley's averaging
nobody. That's awesome.
Great, perfect. That's what I'm saying. That's a good thing.
Being guarded by anyone either, and he's tricking all his shots. That's my whole point. It's awesome that we got a guy.
He's
who
not a starter.
Three.
Huh? He's not a starter. Connington's not a starter.
He's been a starter all these years,
but he's not a starter now because Beasley's better.
What's the point you're making? I'm saying Beasley's good. You're saying he's a starter. Congratulations.
I'm saying you guys act like Beasley is doing something special, but he is.
Name a player who's made this consistent of open threes for us outside of Brook Lopez over the last 5 years.
It's been nobody. He's like Bryn Forbes every game. He's like Bryn Forbes two out of three games.
He's better
every
than Bryn Forbes.
And Bryn Forbes for 5 games, you know.
Yeah, and he's better. He's better,
and that is
And he guards the best almost every night. He's stuck guarding the best wing that the opponents have.
And this is why I bring it out.
Hey, Rob, can you hit record?
Don't call out this stuff enough.
Can you hit record also? Can you hit record also, please?
Yeah,
on your deal, just for backup. Go ahead, Jay, sir.
And this is why this is important. Almost everyone looks at statistics in a vacuum of you shoot 40% from three. But that like is not really relevant to whether you're actually helping the team win, because a lot of the games you will shoot 70% and you're really shooting 30%. But if you can have someone who shoots 40% consistently, guess what? You'll be a good three-point shooting team instead of a team that's just happened to get hot. And if you look historically over the Bucks over the last 3 years, we're trash from three until we make like 22 in a game. Mm-hmm. And it brings up everyone's averages. What we need is someone we can go to in the playoffs, like a Horford, who just makes the open shot. Yeah. If we can trust someone to make an open shot, you can't double Dame. You can't double Giannis. Someone's going to be open.
Who do you trust to put it in?
Huh?
Okay. Let's just take – how many games in are we? 30 games in?
30, 31, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
30 games in.
32.
All right. If the playoffs started today. playoffs started today. You're down by two. You got 6 seconds to win the game. Who's shooting a three?
Beasley, if he's open on a double, like literally, if someone drives and they leave it. Him in a corner, I'm he's shooting.
Who's inbounding? Who's inbounding?
You're saying you would want Beasley to shoot it, but because you know Dame is shooting it.
I'm asking you guys, like, who's inbounding and who's shooting a three?
Okay. Chris is inbounding.
Really, in this scenario, yeah,
probably AJ Green
Chris, to answer your question, probably Chris is inbounding it. Beasley's staying in the corner. Lopez is probably setting a screen and flaring. And Dame is going to bring it up to the logo. He's going to come out on a flare and get the ball. But if he drives. No,
first, it's going to be half court because they're going to call a timeout and take it in the half. They're going to throw it into Giannis.
And Chris will dribble it off his knee.
Yeah.
No, Chris is going to go to the corner because they want to have like two or three options. Chris is going to go to that corner. They're going to try to get the ball to Dame. If he can get it to him, he has an option of dishing it off to Middleton. Or Malik Beasley. I would rather have Beasley or AJ Green, but they won't have it.
Yeah, Here's the beauty of the Bucks right now. Beasley's averaging 12 points a game. That's a huge win for this team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's a huge win because we know what's Dame averaging, 25? Giannis is averaging 30. Like that's a win. And what's Middleton averaging? Probably 15 as well.
Let me take the Zemania angle. Cause what's compelling, there's so many compelling things about this year, but what I think is compelling now, you know, I think so many people have so many stupid opinions, but I think the eye test is in conflict. Like, you know, the graph, the like XY axis graph of like, hey, our defensive rating's getting up, and people like, regardless of the eye test, we're like, hey, our ranking's up. And if you take out the first four games, we weren't playing drop. And if you do all this, and if you take it since December 7th, or if you take it since right after the Celtics game. But what's compelling about this year, and I'm actually more on Zemania's side than I let on, is a lot of people are like, this team plays like some punks, and I don't trust it. And I don't care what happens. They don't take games seriously. And then after they get embarrassed, they still don't take the next first quarter serious. And it wasn't always like that. And so I get when people are like, my spidey sense is still tingling and you're not telling me that beating the Nets or the Pistons stops that. And I think we're going to win the title, but I really respect that point of view because I think it comes from a good place. So that's to me what he's been saying.
I miscounted, so let's say this is tied for number four.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. The Transformers,
robots in disguise.
The Transformers, more than meets Transformers.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are thinking we will walk through the playoffs and just dominate every team in a championship is guaranteed. I think we have just as much chance of winning the championship as exiting in the first round of Miami again. Because if we don't get this stuff together late and we keep turning over late, you can shave your head all you want, Crib. We didn't lose because we were the worst team last year. We lost because we didn't take it seriously till it was too late.
Three games.
We lost injuries. We lost injuries last year.
Yes.
Injuries killed us.
How many games did we win when Giannis came back?
No, it doesn't matter. Giannis was never.
It does matter. It does matter because we never took it.
Giannis played 90% of the
guys, guys. There's no such thing as failure. It's steps to success. There's no such thing. Don't worry about that. That Heat loss was good. Like it was good that we lost in the bubble. It was good.
This team doesn't.
Steps to success.
Doesn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals is a failure this season.
Getting eliminated in the first round last year to a team that had to play a play-in game is an embarrassment.
Not with those injuries. If they're healthy, if injuries occur, I'm not going to call it a failure.
No, I agree. Did Miami make the finals?
You can't be missing Chris Middleton and have a 40-60% Giannis.
Dude.
You're not going to win.
Kendrick, would you admit?
I think 100%. You guys forget how we lost those 100%. Games. Yeah. We choked. 100%. We were up in those games and choked it away. It wasn't even about skill. We were up and choked it. We gave them the keys.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it wasn't like Giannis was whatever. We gave them the keys. We were up. It wasn't like
we are 14 points.
Come back and we have the strength. We were
14 points, consecutive 14-point fourth
quarter. We let a lob on the inbound, had Connington in the game, and let Butler put it in with no time left.
I disagree. This is not score enough points. Y'all already said that it's all about offense. We could not score enough points.
That's it.
That was what happened with them. Miami, first, they shot out of their mind, and they simply outscored us. They outlasted us. If we had another player – you hate Middleton all you want, but if you had another 20-point-per-game player, we would have been able to provide a little bit more offense and maybe won two or three or more of those games.
Wait, hold on.
We were missing a key
you
part.
If we have more offense, we win?
I just said, look, we already said, I already agreed to in the beginning before we got started. I'm saying it doesn't look like they have enough offense. And what is the problem? Why do you see sometimes they'll take Malik out and they'll put in one of those energetic rookies? Why? Because they're both better than him as a defender.
He's also not scoring.
You can't
have what's the point?
Yeah. You can't have Malik and Dame on there. They get destroyed. Offense. Am I talking about again?
Because nobody. You're right though, Ken. Because nobody's crashing the boards. Right? Those rookies.
They're not crashing boards. They're not getting back on defense. It's
you're right.
They can't have them both in there all game long.
You know what I would like
to destroy.
You know what I would like, Kendrick? Kendrick, tell me, this seems like you're kind of up your alley. Brooke Lopez, every third time he drops, should just move forward and just destroy the guy. He should knock, like, there's so many layups. There's so many layups where the guy just goes around him. He should just move forward and play dumb and plow through somebody like Lane Beer every third time. As opposed
to
giving
up, he backs up too far, and
he looks like he's gambling on the other team when he does this now.
And it looks like I hate to say it. It looks like he's block hunting. He's looking for stats.
Yes, but like at the last second, like it's like he needs to.
But he's backing up, hoping that he can block them instead of. I don't think he knows how close he is to the rim already. Like he backs up almost underneath the basket.
It just occurred to me that I'd like them to play more like a goon every once in a while and just level some people so they think – not even that they think twice. I want
him to
bruise. He should bruise.
Let him do his thing.
He should bruise people who come into – he's on an intersect angle, and then he, like, tries to get it on the way aside.
Yes.
He should just clobber the guy and be like, this is probably a foul, but no easy layups.
I got six
I would
to
love
give.
That.
I agree. Or at least put his brother in there to do it.
Yeah.
What's next?
There's no way if we still had Jason Kidd in the playoffs, if Brooke Lopez filed out, he wouldn't put a goofy Sideshow Bob wig on his brother and try to make it seem like they got the wrong brother.
It's the other one. It's a different guy.
But that's a real question, though. Like, I don't understand. If you're a twin and you're playing pro basketball, how come you don't just cut it up, line it up the same way? Why you look so different?
Change t-shirts, dude. It would be,
I think I could still
love
tell
it if they got caught doing that. That would be so funny.
Yeah,
go down in history. Remember that time the Bucks tried to switch for Lopez? Man, that would be hilarious.
I'll be good with that. I'll be good with that.
I feel like Robin is more gaunt in the face, like his face is more angular.
He ain't as thick.
Brooke has a loaf of bread head, so it's a little bit different.
Is bigger than him a little bit.
So this is the podcast where we keep it real. Can I talk about how after 2 years I didn't care and now I just can't stand Lisa Byington at all?
You guys already know how I watch the games. I don't even listen to him. I'll listen to Marcus, but I don't even listen to her.
Dude, you guys
if
know
Marcus isn't on a broadcast, I don't listen to her.
You don't like Novak? All right, that's fine.
People don't like Novak for other reasons, but Lisa...
Novak to me just seems like a modern day early career John McLaughlin. He just
says
he's a homer and just says all the homer stuff. I don't mind him. I like him.
Who is Lisa Byington compare? Who you comparing her to?
She, I'm so sick of her saying ho ho ho, and she doesn't.
I hate to do this to you. We keeping it real though.
Keep it real.
Is there a female play by play? Because she's not the caller. Marcus is the caller.
Is there
a female? She does a little bit of.
She does both. That's the problem. What is she doing?
All of them do a little bit of.
Like that, and it was the same when Zora was doing it. They're like, are you doing play by play? Are you doing catchphrases? Because it's like ho ho ho. Like she doesn't have a naturally deep resonance. So everything's like ho ho in the face. Oh, Giannis breaking out the knife and fork. Oh, and it's like these like '90s Chris Bermanism, like boom goes the dynamite stuff. It's just like blah blah blah, and I'm like. This really sucks, but aren't you doing play-by-play? Because even Marcus, well, again, it's a whole big thing. Like, I didn't notice it. I didn't care for a long time. And now when you hear it, it's like she's got ad-libs, but I don't think they're ad-libs really. And it's really maddening to me that, again, no connection to the state or anything else, and we just got this person just seeming drunk on air. I don't care for Novak though. Like I think I'm lower on Novak probably than Kendrick is, but
I'm just saying I never heard McLaughlin.
She's Doris Burke for the Bucks. That's all she is.
Doris Burke is more of a Doris Burke is more Doris Burke says whatever else, and Doris Burke sometimes says stuff that seems like a hater, but she just talks like a librarian. Lisa, again, we keep it real.
It's the poor man's version. That's all.
She's not fat enough to have the resonance to just be jolly, but she does jolly ad libs. And once
she wants to be that,
yeah, she wants to be like the fabulous, the Yankees, the whoa, Yankees win, like that kind of thing. Or
and she wants a catchphrase so bad. She wants a bang like a Breen. She wants something, but nothing is clicking. Nothing is. When they send it before the people that are watching her, they're like, "Nah, that ain't it."
Don't you know Marcus knows that too?
It's like,
don't you know Marcus knows that too, right? Like Marcus knows that. Like he tried when you listen to him and her, like she's like, oh, I'm really having to do this with her. Well, you know he's saying that.
Well, because he does old man kind of pandery stuff too. But like Marcus, like you remember, like I think Mark Jones is still around, but Mark Jones was the first guy. Like Stuart Scott took it to one level, but then Mark Jones would just be like. 2 points with my mind on my money and my money on my mind and do that kind of stuff, right? And he'd be like, for three, nothing like the LBC. And he'd be like, all right, Mark Jones, settle down. And it's like, so Marcus will do that kind of stuff too. And then Lisa will be like, oh, what did you say, Marcus, in the club? Is that the new name? In the club, bottle full of bub? And you're like, what is happening right now? And
everything Marcus says is straight out of the 80s and late early 90s. Like, he has no new stuff. Right, so she thinks it's hip and fresh when it's just Marcus is from the 80s, man. So he's just saying his old school stuff. So it just cracks me up. She's not great.
They both do play-by-play and they both do color.
He's just pulling a white man can't jump stuff out. That's all Marcus does. He's like, here's a white man can't jump line that nobody used before.
So as I'm listening to this, it must be said that the real magic trick that Marcus does is, especially on the West Coast, but I think he even studies up on it on just everywhere, is just knowing where everyone went to high school. So if someone dunks, it's like, oh, the pride of East, mother of the crescent moon and you know, Virginia or whatever. And he just knows where everybody went. And so that's, I think, a crutch that kind of he falls on, and I think generally kind of works. Like, what was the whole King of South Philly thing? What was it? Was it Lowry? Was Lowry the king of East Philly, or it was something? I don't know. Again, Marcus knows all of this kind of stuff, so it can just be like, you know, South Central Mary High School, and he can just yell it out. And that's like kind of his. He needs to look. Somebody dunks. You didn't see it. Somebody gets a backdoor cut. Somebody dunks. You need something to yell. I'm just. The mediocrity is starting to get pretty heavy. But again, we needed something to talk about. So obviously that's why we talked about it. Back to the show. But check it out. So the better thing about him now is that when he's on and they're doing whack, he'll just be like, I would have liked a better effort from Dame there. You got to get a better shot. He's still doing a little bit more of that. You're not supposed to
what
say
what would you
it.
Give
really bothering me now.
What grade would you give Dame up after 32 games? What grade would you give him?
You first.
Eight.
Grade? Eight.
C plus.
What? C plus. Are you saying 1 out of 10? You saying one out of 10?
Did I say 1 out of 10? No, I said what grade. Okay. So you're giving him an 8 out of 10. That's fine.
That's a B.
You gave him an 8 out of 10. I gave him a C plus. We gotta get our scales together.
No, I love this. We're gonna have. Ben's gonna give us how many hearts? And
it's like a Home Alone
clover.
It's like
yes, it's a tar, it's like tar, tar. Blue diamonds. 5 blue diamonds, laddie.
Right.
Pat Connington takes 5 diamonds.
All right, 1 out of 10. So we're going 8.
What are we giving letter grades? What are we doing?
We'll do the numbers. We'll do 1 out of 10.
You gotta qualify.
I'm sorry. I said grade, but all right, you're right.
The grade
they don't give grades. Hey, you don't give grades no more.
1 out of 10. One out of 10.
You guys got kids. How many grades are there now?
B plus. You said a C.
B plus. Ooh.
I didn't hear you.
C plus. I'm getting a C plus.
Okay. Okay.
B plus.
B. I give him a B. I think he needs more time.
He's still winning a lot of these games at the end.
Dude, I don't understand. Yeah. Could someone explain to me what they expected the Bucks to be? Like, I know we did a podcast where almost every dude in here to a man said this team was gonna take time. We're 30 games in, so that's a quarter of the season. Almost every dude in here said they would take time to gel.
I agree. Nope. I just said
but
that.
The question was, what grade?
And they're the second best team in the East.
The question wasn't, what is the current grade for Dame? Is what grade have you given him to this point? Which takes into account the rough start, which we knew would happen. This is the end of it.
That's a win. That's a huge win for this team because they're 30 games in and he's at a B.
Okay, I got
it. You just asked me to grade it.
Do you anticipate him becoming a C within the rest of the season?
Even if he was, what's important is he isn't washed.
And he isn't Middleton.
I didn't understand how fast he was.
Or Chris Paul. Yeah.
Off the dribble, his first step is way past people. I had no idea he was that fast still at this age.
I got 2 topics. Then I got to go.
Easy, he's past guys.
Where do you guys think we would be had we still had Drew? So we have
new coach,
phenomenal defense.
New coach
for our 30, 20. What is he doing? I sent you guys the stats. What is Dame up to? 26 points a game on average so far this year. So where would we be? We'd be the same. That's what I think too.
Yep.
So you're gonna seriously get your. Will our offense win us this championship, or is it gonna be the defense? You're gonna get it right now.
The best thing that could happen for the team right now is Chris gets hurt for 30 games.
That's just
no. I disagree.
That's just the most ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous thing you could say. That will be the worst. They're still gonna play
him. They're gonna treat him like he didn't miss time.
That will be the worst thing. We need this team healthy.
He needs to play. He needs to play 22 minutes.
No, he needs 25 minutes a game. That's
fine. Sure.
My next question.
Yes.
Are you guys impressed with how much more that Giannis has been able to show you on the court? I mean, that jumper is still kind of weak, but his spin move and his slither has gotten phenomenally better. You haven't seen nearly as many offensive fouls as you have seen in the past. And that spin move, man, it's just that one he did on Jared Allen today after the foul where he actually tripped, but they said Jared fouled him.
Yeah. That stuff is well improved. It seems like he decides when to turn it up and turn it out and not. But every time Giannis makes a leap forward and like the stuff that only superstars can do, he cuts his effort. How many times have I seen him around the hoop not putting his hands up and letting the other team get an offensive rebound this like regular season? He is just standing like this. Have you noticed how many offensive rebounds we're giving up? It's a ridiculous amount. And that's really how teams get back in the game. Giannis is standing there like this with his hands at his side in a ball.
They're playing a lot more zone. They're playing a lot more zone this year than you've ever seen.
I'm calling this out. He is by the hoop in rebounding position and just doesn't get his hands up.
Right.
Like, it's not like, oh, you didn't fight hard enough to get it. You were the key guy to get it, and you decided it wasn't worth the effort. Watch how many long rebounds come out where the only guys who go and try to, like, really claim the rebound are Pat when he's in or some of the rookies. Like, everyone else stands around and watches it. So his moves greatly improved in the post. I hope he gets that one-foot floater. He needs, like, the Bobby drop step to just kind of push shot like him and Lopez both shoot. If he had that in his game, there wouldn't be anything you stop him. But the problem is he wants to get that corner layup every time. He's only going really for the corner layup.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm really not watching enough games.
He needs the Shaq, like, drop it in. That's it.
This is the best Giannis you've seen since he's been a Buck.
It's been a very good version. And so the answer to Kendrick's question is yes. Just a child.
I didn't think he was going to provide more.
I'm just a child of the 90s, and I don't like this screwing around. And I don't, and now he's driving to pass, and sometimes that's working out, but we haven't really been doing the LeBron jump and pass to the corner stuff that LeBron was doing since 2013. And so now it's like, it's just a whole nother variable. I think it gets guys open when it works. Giannis typically got charging turnovers and loses the ball because he holds it too light on the spin move turnovers. And now he's also getting passed to the wing turnovers. I think it's a work in progress. Your answer is yes, I was wrong about the steep decline so far. So that's one more reason. But again, the best version of all of this. Like, so my idealized version of the Bucks. Is why I rail Kendrick on all of this stuff all the time, because chemistry matters, all of this. The perfect version of the Bucks. You make me the coach right now. Chris is the sixth man. Dame comes out trying to score 10 points right away. You keep Giannis in reverse, and like, they can shoot as much as they want. Dame and Giannis should combine for 50 shots. They should take all the shots. Everybody else's planets. They revolve around the sun with those two. And then Giannis has energy in the third. Because a lot of guys are like teams. He gets super amped up and he gets even more amped up in the playoffs. And then it's like he runs through the wall. When he has that burst too in the second half, it's not just Dame. And he has something in reserve. If Chris came off the bench as a six man and we were able to get Jay back and have a bunch of defense, we would just fo through the rest of the league. And that's what I would want. But we need more defenders out there. But start the dumbest version. And again, I keep railing on this. The dumbest version. The stupidest thing we could do is to have two Hall of Famers and two of the top 12 players in the league or whatever it is now and be like, hey, Chris, get us some make some pocket passes. Hey, take a two-pointer and do it. No, we need to get a lead. We need to hold the lead. We need to hold something in reverse. We need to, like, Phoenix Suns these teams. And it's like we're still doing the Jason Kidd stuff. But, yes, Giannis is better than I thought. That's why we're going to win the title this year.
You mean 1990s Phoenix Suns, not current Phoenix Suns, right?
No, yeah, I mean the 2000s. I mean the Steve Nash. Well, any of those versions, but, like,
okay,
the Steve Nash Suns.
All right.
Number 3.
COPS, Central Organization of Police Specialists. Fighting crime. In a future time, protecting Empire City from Big Boss and his gang of crooks. We'll be right back. Top, Roll Call, Highway, Mainframe, Long Arm, Bowser and Blitz, Sundown, Hardtop, Mirage, Bullseye, Mace, Barricade, and they call me Bulletproof. These are Empire City's most wanted crooks. Berserko, Rock Crusher, Misdemeanor, Turbo Two-Tone, Dr. Bad Vibes, Nightshade. Use caution in apprehending.
The Bucks are fine. Like, let's just be real. They're the second team in the East, and they have not, nobody here is saying that they've played their best basketball.
Yeah. And no one's saying, no one's saying hit the panic button. We all think when it comes to playoffs, we have a good chance of winning it all, which is great. It was better than it's ever been for the majority of my life. So we're all doing this on a graded scale of what we think our potential is versus where we're at right now. But I've noticed the Bucks that when they practice wrong during the regular season, that junk does not go away during the playoffs. All that stuff that makes you mad during the regular season, the silly passes that, like, how many passes over the last five games have you seen that was not into the paint, just was up top to another guy, and it was just sailed over his head to the other team for a fast break the other way? And it's one thing for it to be like, well, mistakes happen. They don't seem like it bothers them. That should bother you. You gave them a fast break the other way.
It doesn't bother anyone.
Playing hard defense.
It doesn't bother anyone. Like, I'd rather they yell at each other and get it all out. Like, that was the craziest thing since last time we talked. Well, I mean, all the stuff. Like, Portis and Griffin, like obviously, no matter what people want to say, incentives matter. They all wanted that half a milli, right? And
yeah,
like they all wanted it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we were playing and it was whatever else and we're salaried and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, it's $50. It wouldn't matter, right? It just matters. And
what do you think Bobby's complaint was?
Yes.
Bobby's, what do you think his complaint could be? Because, I mean, his defense is trash. Even if he tries hard, he's not a very good defender. So
we did not talk about that at all. That's actually a good thing to talk about.
You heard me. Bobby
can be 100% right and the reason they lost. Bobby played terrible.
He lost the next game. He lost the Christmas.
I feel like Bobby spent the money before they won it. And now he's extra salty.
What was his complaint?
I mean,
I'm like, dude, you were part of the problem. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he did not play well. He did not play well.
His complaint was simple, bro.
What?
They didn't win.
Yeah. Yeah, dramatic pause face.
Keeping it simple, Bobby.
Bobby's
we didn't talk about basketball game.
Bobby the stolen is the rock. Reason they win the chip this year.
That was marvelous.
Oh, we didn't know. We just wanted the ball because our guy scored his first NBA points. Just 1 point on the free throw line. So we took Giannis to 64 ball. Like, on the road. You're not even at home.
And
what made you think you could take that ball?
This is secondhand information from my son, so I don't know whether he validated it. Hadn't that dude already scored a game in the play-in in Vegas?
In the play-in was his first NBA point.
So he had already scored a point.
But that didn't count.
That didn't count as a regular season, but it still counted as NBA points. And he scored 12. So they stole the ball from a missed free throw and made the second one. That was all he did. And they took the ball.
It's just a little brother move. That's all that is.
It was marvelous. It is such a hater. Like, I was busy with all that other stuff, but yeah, it's a great story.
Yeah. Oh,
it was hilarious.
I'm happy Giannis didn't drop it. He should. I mean, it was intentional disrespect.
Even if you don't care about the points,
it was intentional.
People are like, all that's petty over a ball. No, it wasn't over the ball. It was, you go come in my house and take our ball. Like, we ain't letting that slide.
It was the most points scored by a Buck ever, right?
Ever.
Yes, correct. But,
yep.
But see, here's the thing, man. I want that guy all the time. I don't want the salsa guy. I want the get your ladder out of my way guy. like more often, always, right?
Yo, like he's like, always that dude.
You're gonna have to make him mad.
Giannis is always that dude. He's always that dude. Like when he, this season, I've seen the most aggressive Giannis I've ever seen.
I also saw him dancing to Saturday Night Fever in the middle of a game, up 15, and us give up that lead tonight. Mm-hmm. Like the same old, same old. You gotta stay mad.
But, and it sets a bad example. Smart, it's not about him. It sets a bad example for everyone else.
You want him angry. So I guess the thing is, we all grew up in the 90s with Jordan, who was angry all the time. He was the Hulk.
Then you had Kobe, same way.
Right, those dudes,
and those are the people he capes up for those dudes. But he's missing, but, like, you can't, no days off is like the mama mentality is I'm a butthole all the time to everyone because we need to be sharp as a razor's edge at any given moment. Like we might have to play a pickup game we don't even know about.
But he's not that.
That part of it.
No, he's not that.
Yeah. Well, Kobe was, I mean, that's what the video was about. But Kobe was like a super exaggerated version of it. It's not like Jordan was mad all the time, but Jordan would just be like, you're messing up. Don't do that again. You can't do it again. Like, it's just simple. It's just like, hey, we're screwing up, guy. I mean, you can do it like a Boy Scout too, but you got to be like, we're messing up. We shouldn't have had that. We finished that quarter whack. Like we were almost tied. And then we went into the quarter down 7. Like that's all it is. And they just,
isn't Giannis a combination of Jordan? Isn't he a combination of Jordan and LeBron?
No, he's
like, I'm going to make the right pass at the end of the game. And because I'm going to trust my teammates, where Jordan was like, I'm not passing it to that dude because he missed the last three. He tricked the last three layups. I'm taking this shot instead. Like, he's some weird combination in between. Like, Jordan was legitimately the dude that if he passed you the ball, you better not turn it over or you better score. Or you ain't touching the ball.
Giannis is a mix.
Giannis is that mix. He's that weird combination of those two guys because he wants to be that Mamba Jordan mentality, but he also has to mix in today's modern day player, which is designed after LeBron as like, I made the right pass at the end of the game.
His game doesn't match up enough with those guys' game to like really be a good comparison for me because Giannis.
I'm talking mentality. I'm not talking game. I'm talking mentality.
Right. But like the mentality is that I know I can score on you. Giannis can't. Right. Giannis can't say he's going to get the he's got a shot that you can't stop, and that's the difference. So down the stretch,
right?
What move do you expect Giannis to do? Like you have no idea. He's going to put his head down and probably get a charge. That's like the go-to moves. Right. Like hopefully they're not in the way. Hopefully they don't call this hook. Hopefully I can. The spin move is the only good one, but like it's a great move, but it's not a like I need to score move. It is they are out of position. Jordan's got a fade that can't be stopped, a pull-up that can't be stopped, and multiple moves when he gets to the hole to finish at the rim. LeBron 100%. Has a post move that can't be stopped, that where he's shooting over the top of someone, and a fade away from that as well. Giannis has no go-to move, and that's why I would never compare those two, because Giannis has to pass. Like,
I agree with that 100%, Jay. I'm simply talking about the mentality, right? Like Giannis wants to present you with this, like, I work harder than anybody else mentality. And I don't disagree with that. Like, I think if you look at what the guy's done in his career, he's worked harder than everybody.
Right.
Right. But there's also this softer side of him that I think kind of equates more to LeBron's game, where he's like, he's kind of a coward, where he shies away from the big moment where Jordan didn't. And he makes the pass to the guy because that's the right play. Jordan didn't always make the right play, but he was going to live or die with the ball in his hand.
That's what
made him great.
We don't need to talk about swingmen, though. The problem with him is that he's not Tim Duncan, who is probably like the fifth, sixth, seventh greatest player of all time. He's not Olajuwon. I mean, there's a million ways to win.
Right.
But you have to be invested in like trying this. Okay, we're gonna do this. Okay, whatever. I'm gonna hit a screen. All right, I guess I'm gonna try to get to that hook. And they just kind of run out the ball, dude.
But it's you're like talking about a smart basketball player. You're talking about a smart basketball. Like Olajuwon was a legitimately, incredibly intelligent basketball player.
But
and so was Tim Duncan.
He'll be remembered higher than Garnett. Garnett would also be trying to execute at the end of games. And like I don't know it's not like I'm saying he's below Dirk or below these guys, but all these other guys. Again, that's why the season is so great. There's so many stakes to the season. There are no more excuses.
True.
And you can lose. You can lose like a hero, but.
I agree.
You know.
They don't have any excuses if they're healthy. If they don't miss, if they're not missing Giannis, Chris, or Dame, they got no excuse.
Because we've had so many bites of apples.
Beasley's averaging 12, and he's your fourth player on the team. Like he's your
That's good. He takes Pat's spot.
Number two. Sometimes some crime go slipping through the cracks, but
begin up the slack. There's no case too big, no case too small. When you need help, just call Chip-Chip-Chip-Chip-Bandales. Rescue Ranger, Chip-Chip-Chip-Bandales. When there's danger, no, it never fails. Almost once they're involved, somehow whatever's wrong, it's solved. Chip-Chip-Chip-Chip-Bandales. Rescue Ranger, Chip-Chip-Chip-Chip-Bandales. When there's danger, no, it never fails. They'll take the food and find the whales and wise and food. Chip-Chip-Chip-Chip-Bandales. Rescue Ranger, Chip-Chip-Chip-Bandales. When there's danger, Chip-Chip-Chip-Chip-Bandales. Yep. Pat can't guard nobody anyway, so.
He's lost his step.
The Greek Mafia.
I forgot I was thinking about this the other day. What would you trade to get Carter back on the team?
Javon Carter?
Give up. Yeah.
Nobody.
You wouldn't give up Pat?
Nobody. No.
Oh, yeah, I'd take Javon Carter back. Is that what you said?
Over Pat?
Yeah.
He's undersized. Yeah. He's undersized.
That'd be easy. It doesn't matter.
Not with Dame. Where's he fit with Dame?
What are they doing now? What would be the loss if you traded Pat for him? Pat can't stay in front of anybody.
Bro, what was
Carter can at least stay in front of somebody.
Yeah, that's true. But what was Javon's offensive ability last year?
We got Dame, Chris, Brooke, and Middleton.
I understand that. But what was Javon adding to you offensively last year?
He was a bomb shooter. I mean, one game he had like
3-point shooters when, in the regular season.
One of them games he had like 33 and 17 assists or something crazy.
Okay.
Like that.
All right. Pull up three. So, thank you.
He gives you more than Pat.
Pat moves without the ball.
Pat misses musty moves without the ball, though.
He ain't got nothing else. And he ain't even getting the ball.
Javon's open shot was him bringing the ball up and shooting a three.
Yeah. All you need to know about Pat is this. All you need to
but
know
you
about
don't
Pat
want
is
that. You don't want that in a, on a team that doesn't play defense.
That's why I would take Carter, because he can at least stay in. He would stay in front of Mitchell. Mitchell would body him, but he can stay in front of him.
So then it's a wash.
I said it's
a
wash.
He can't guard Mitchell.
No.
He can't guard Mitchell. He's too short.
No. You guys don't. Okay, so here's the thing about defense.
You still can't run over somebody.
In this modern NBA, they don't let you lock anyone down. They don't. The refs are going to call bad calls all the time. You can't really lock anyone down. But what you can do is put pressure so their percentage goes from 42% to 36%, and that can be the difference in the game. It's not all about, he got cooked. Well, did he have a less scoring average than his normal? Because if so,
Beasley's doing that already. Beasley's already doing that.
Brooke is seeing guys from every defender on the court, from four other dudes, with a full head of steam from the free throw line every play. And we're all complaining because the goalie at a hockey game can't get four, you know, he's getting all these pucks shooting at him because there's no defense being played in front of him. So we're complaining about all the lobs and the dunks. Because those guys are wide open by the time they get to Brooke. That's a loss.
Yeah.
And then we're looking at Brooke like, oh, they're getting too slow. Oh, my God. No, you can't you can't have Brunson and Mitchell.
This team is fine.
You keep saying that, and we keep saying the exact same thing. No one's saying they're not. What we're saying is we could easily be better, and we're choosing not to be by the decisions we're making.
Right.
I would take Carter over Pat. But take Carter. Why would the Bulls want Pat?
Nobody wants Pat.
Okay. Nobody wants Pat. So this is
Giannis wants Pat.
That's so, all that matters.
That's it.
Happy Giannis is a happy Bucks. And the second best team in the East, which is probably what, the third best team in the league? They're in the top four.
They're in the top five for sure.
You mean talking about their record right now? Or
they're better than Philadelphia. Better than Philadelphia. The best,
regardless of record.
They're better than Philadelphia. They're on par with Boston. And I don't know where you put Denver, because I don't know if Jokic is serious about playing basketball or more interested in horses. I don't know.
Jokic he's gonna do his job. He's fine.
They'll be in the finals again. They'll be in the finals again.
For sure.
So go ahead and disagree with me on this, because I made a stupid decision to tweet something while I was waiting for something in the microwave at work or something. If the Nuggets had Middleton, this is just my assertion, but a team like the Nuggets, and this goes back to the whole thing, we could spin this on Brooke or anybody else. If the Nuggets had Middleton, what they would not do, if they acquired him, I'm interested in the titillation that happens when someone is acquired, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're going to use Crowder in this way. Like, or if we got PJ, it'd be like, well, we got PJ. Of course we're going to use him because we got him, right? But if they're just on the team, we have defenders on the team now that we don't use. So right now we have Brook Lopez, who is a flawed player defensively. Adds a lot, takes a lot away. We got to play defense a certain kind of way because he's there the whole thing. You have Chris. You have Malik. You have a lot of bad defenders and a lot of stuff going. But if Team X got Middleton, if the Lakers got Middleton, if any of team just pretend they didn't drop him or anything else, they would be like, oh, we got this sixth man. We're going to use this guy as a sniper. Oh, maybe this guy will help us win a game. We're going to use this guy really judiciously, and maybe if he get hot in the last 5 minutes. They would not do what we're doing, which is showcase him like he's a third-year player and be like, oh, it's a Chris Middleton show. Any team with better players would never do that. Why are we doing that? That's kind of my whole thing. And we don't have to make that about Chris. We can make that about any one of the guys. I don't know why it would be the Beasley show at the start of the game. It should be about Lillard getting going. He's going to play the whole first quarter. It's got to be about him going. Oh, Crib dropped out.
I got to get going too, guys.
All right, man.
Yeah, that's good. We can stop it right.
Well, I mean, we can finish this part of it because no one answered what you're saying. Yes, exactly. Because, like, I think the Nuggets is the perfect comparison because – you have Joker, who everything should run through. He's your multiple-time MVP and NBA champion. And then you got Jamal Murray, who is
incredible,
a prolific scorer.
When he's on, yeah.
In the playoffs. I mean, if it's not regular season, but I've only seen him when he's healthy in the playoffs look great for scoring, right? He might have one game off a series, but he's usually more up than down. Yep. So if you were to throw Middleton, that's very similar to what we have. We have a big who has won a championship, multiple MVPs. We have a sniper and a get my own bucket kind of guy as well. There's no way they're running this through Middleton at any point in the game. Unless someone's in foul trouble or something like that, he is going to be one of those. He needs to be like Gordon. Aaron Gordon is a underrated player in the correct system because he works hard. He's going to get you a couple buckets on mess ups on offense and outwork some dudes. Now, obviously, he's bigger than Middleton, but they're not even trying to have him be a focus scorer. He gets his from working hard and filling in where the other guys are just kind of off to the sides. But there's no way they're giving Middleton post-up moves where he runs the whole clock and decides like a turnaround or anything like that. Not that he's doing that this much this season. I'm just saying for the point of the argument being like Middleton's not bringing it up and then rolling to the hoop to feed Joker. Joker's doing that, and Middleton's fitting in the corners and around the sides. Mm-hmm.
And 2 games ago, they got him a bunch of open threes just because that's how it worked. And because his shot is really not calibrated from three, he has to like think about it. It's like, oh, look at how great this is. And all of a sudden, he's making 2 out of 3 wide open threes because he's getting catch and shoot. He never gets catch and shoot. Why? Because he's always fiddling with the ball and doing other stuff. Just stand out there.
Look, let them run a pick and roll and catch it.
Huh?
check his stats out for the last 10 games.
Oh, you mean against the Pistons and the Pacers and the Knicks? And,
all right, look, the Knicks look and up the Nets. Wherever you want. Look up his stats since he started playing over 25 minutes.
Stats when we beat the Mavericks without him. Like we don't need him. We didn't need him without Drew. We had Drew and Giannis, and it was enough to win at a very
have
high.
Have a good night. We I gotta go.
Hey, wait, real quick. You didn't see Barbie. Uh-huh. You didn't see Barbie, right?
No.
All right, never mind.
Did you guys watch Rebel Moon?
Yes, because my brother-in-law was here. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't like it.
Not good.
It wasn't good.
I guess I wasn't paying attention that much because I'm like, okay. It was like every time I looked up, it was slow-mo.
It was slow-mo up the wazoo. And then there was no character development, you know? I mean, they're just like...
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just... I mean, that was the real flaw. You got done with it and be like, I don't care about any of those these people. Like, the first 30 to 40 minutes, pretty good, pretty solid. Yeah. Could look like it had promise. And then...
As soon as we gotta get ourselves a team, it just was bad from there on. It really should have been
better. Just
having it as a TV series, you know.
Oh, man, what's the name of that cowboy movie that just came out with Denzel? It was a remake of an old one. Shoot, Magnificent Seven. They would have been better off just doing Magnificent Seven in space because that movie does a great job of introducing characters for you to care about in a short amount of time without explaining why you should care about them. They just showed
sure
you.
Did. Yeah.
They would have been much better off. But like the universe could have been good if they would have just followed that formula. You can't just say, this person's got cyborg arms. Hopefully you care about that and move on. And don't tell me like, yeah. All right.
Speaking of which, did you know that guy, the last guy who dies was cyborg? Like really? They go
from the DC movies?
In X-Men?
Yeah, who jumps X-Men, through the who dies in the windshield? That was Cyborg.
The time one?
He had painted face. He looked like that Jedi.
Oh, I'm thinking Bishop. I'm thinking Bishop.
No, in Rebel Moon. He's talking about in Rebel Moon.
Yeah, he looked like Bishop. Yeah, you're right, Kendrick. He looked like Bishop. And he had a girlfriend, a sister who looked like Bishop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
anyway, guys, we should do another one and talk about these latest movies and stuff, because we can go to town on those too.
Yeah, I gotta go. All right, man. Good seeing you.
All right. Yep. You too, guys.
Bye.
All right.
In the third quarter, it looks like your Wisconsin Badgers are 28-27 up on LSU. Keep getting kicked off the sling for that game. So yeah, real quick, fun episode. The Packers control their own destiny, as everyone knows. That's incredible. Shout out to Goodell. Finishing with rivalry games is outstanding. Packers-Bears would have mattered if they both had 5 wins. If the Bears still had it. I think the Bears are eliminated, right? They needed a tie. Was that correct? Well, at any rate, as you can tell, I'm still kind of getting my voice back. I think user Eggstray on Twitter asked, kind of just for a general assessment on Love. And he said, yeah, maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. But I think basically the question was something like, well, he's not a Hall of Famer, but he looks good, right? I don't see any reason why he can't be a Hall of Famer. I think Jordan Love is the real deal. I think he's entered fully the Joe Burrow category. Like when Joe Burrow was slinging, people were like, I wouldn't pick him as the best quarterback, but I don't think anybody plays better than Joe Burrow, and I think that's where Jordan Love is right now. 28-28, Wisconsin LSU. The numbers on the screen tell me. So I think if you're the Packers, like I think some years they'll be like, hey, you can squint, and Jordan Love will be the third best quarterback. Other years he'll be like top 8. He's here. I think he's better. I'd take him over Dak right now. I think he processes fast. I think he hits people in stride. I think he takes underneath. I think the deep ball is getting better. I think he's the man. I think we're 3-for-3. And so again, why hasn't anybody made that hood t-shirt yet? Like, I don't want to make it and ask my daughter to draw it and do a bunch of stuff just to make like $100 out of it and spend $200 to it. Why hasn't somebody made that hood t-shirt? of like of Don Majkowski shooting dice and Aaron Rodgers with like a wad of bills in his pocket and Brett Favre playing ping pong and Jordan Love, you know, doing something. Why hasn't anybody made that a version of like Malcolm and George Floyd and Martin Luther King and R. Kelly and Michael Jordan and Tupac, like hanging out, having a grand old time? Like, what? Somebody make that. Cause he's in the pantheon of guys. I think he's very good. And just one more reason you don't, history repeats itself. Like the whole thing was, we went through the exact same thing with Favre Rodgers. And then people were like, yeah, but what? Why didn't we draft weapons for Rodgers when he is on the way out and always choking in the playoffs? And here we are. This is better, right? This is better. Now, again, I don't watch the games with a fine-tooth comb, so maybe you guys feel differently. And maybe, like, the problems of the first half of the season. But this goes back to Griffin. What? Was texting me. This is the Griffin thing too, like gambling and fantasy and everything else, and the fact that everyone, see, here's the thing, the globalization of sports, and especially the nationalization, where everybody has an opinion on every team, not like the opinions from people who are like just fans of the Lions or any team you can name, but at least like the opinions of your own fan base, there's a little bit of a self-policing aspect to it. But people have no skin in the game. And they're like, Jordan Love, sucks. After two games, he cost me money on the parlay. Jordan Love sucks. And that's like, Peyton Manning was bad for his whole first year. But you got to be the first one to get the article out. You got to be the first one to say the thing. You got to get the attention. Give me attention. Please look at me. Give me attention for saying this thing. I'm going to be the first one to say it. You said it hard. I'm going to say it even harder. I think he's a very good NFL player right now. I think he hits people in stride. He processes quickly. And what I would do right now is draft offensive linemen and trade for your Sterling Sharp. Like, I don't know who that is. I don't know who's available. It's hypocritical for me to say take Beckham Jr. now, because I think there was just a lot of baggage with that idea last year. I wouldn't have done it, and I still wouldn't have done it, but go get your number one and let Speedy McAlways Hurt be your number two or even your number three. And now people are saying, no, Reed's the guy. No, this guy's the guy. I don't know. I don't watch it that closely, and I don't pay for this kind of stuff except when we're sharing passwords, so I don't get to see all the games. But I'm excited. And if the Bears beat us, same thing I feel with Drew Holiday. If the Bears beat us, if Drew Holiday beats us, well, that's how it went. But this is really fun, and I'm excited for all of that. There's no real reason for me to record after the Bucks game, just so you get a take after the Bucks game. I think we kind of said enough. We still need to figure out the Bucks hierarchy. There's absolutely no reason to start games with Middleton holding the ball. And unless, man, can you imagine if this is all because Horse is kind of trade him? What if Horse traded him? What if we were showcasing him and then yoink? How gangster would that be? That's not going to happen, though. So the number one music pick, or the number one Saturday morning, whatever, I just felt like playing some songs. And I kind of feel like, maybe this would be hilarious just for me, but if I did top 28 Tony songs out of nowhere, first of all, I'm not sure how the rules work or whether it would get taken down. Because it never gets taken down. It gets taken down like 8 months later. But also, by all means, I'm totally fine with putting out stuff that nobody likes. But the thing with the cartoon, so all of these songs just about would basically, it's like kind of the 80s. They'd all be basically fit right in with Rocky III or Days of Thunder or any of these kind of movies. They all have like a guitar riff. And this is maybe not the best one, but this is amongst the funniest ones to me. And the kind of Simpsons bit of cartoons that were just toy commercials, which like all of these basically were. And I think there's a Simpsons bit where it's like, it's the Transformers or it's the GoBots or it's anything, but it's chocolate bars. And so it's like Chocolate Man and Nougat Girl or whatever. And it's the same kind of thing. So we'll end with this one, which I think always kind of stuck in my head as cheesy. And out of toys that in my very early existence, there's not a whole lot that I wanted more than the toy where the Camaro, the doors open up, like the Gullwing doors open up, and then it turns into a plane. So anyway, zip it up, zip it up.